listening to LSU Daily with Matt Moscona, your home for all the latest Tiger news. Part of the Guarantee Podcast Network.
Okay, let's get it. It is LSU Daily. I'm your host, Matt Moscona. Glad to have you aboard with us here. Baseball Tigers got a 3-game sweep of Ole Miss this past weekend. Former Tiger great Ben McDonald was on the call for game two. He'll be with us a bit later in today's episode to recap the high points of that weekend look ahead for LSU baseball. LSU football spring game was this past weekend. Tigers also picked up a commit big recruiting weekend. Shay Dixon is here in just a moment. But first, Brian Kelly recapping LSU spring on Saturday. Typically, as we do here, we do our spring recaps. People from all over the conference reach out. They want to do interviews, kind of do the same thing we do, recap spring. So I've done a bunch of those interviews here the last several days, and people inevitably ask, hey, what's the first question that everyone asks? Like literally every single interview I've done, the first question in all of them. What's the biggest difference year one to year two with Brian Kelly? Well, the biggest difference is just last year was so frenetic, and this year it's just much slower and calmer because there's a lot more settled. That's one big change. One thing that has absolutely stayed the same and will likely never change is that Brian Kelly has jokes, like when he was asked about the game ending in a tie.
Tie game. I would have went for two.
Muse, you think that it was a dig at Bama?
Kinda. Tied game. I went for two. Remember the last time that happened?
I don't know that it was so much a dig at Bama as it was just Brian Kelly maybe alluding to the fact that he did famously go for two in a big ball spot, and it turned out pretty well for old BK when he did it the last time. No need here in the spring game, of course. Most importantly, though, you got everybody out of the spring game healthy, and Brian Kelly did talk about just the overall outcome coming out of the spring game and this second spring in Baton Rouge.
You know, it was what we had hoped it to be, in a sense that, you know, as you saw, we tried to do some situational work and some special teams that allowed us to shorten the format a little bit, you know, because we, as you know, were thin on the offensive line. First and foremost, we got out of it clean, no injuries, which is always important. As you look at the overall impact of a game like this, you know, I thought we got, you know, strong play, you know, across the board. I think our safety play needs to continue to get better at the second level. We missed some tackles, but all in all, a good day out there today for us to evaluate and, you know, take a step forward.
15 practices. So much of that is finding answers to questions that you have, or beginning the process of answering those questions. So when you hit fall camp, you have something steady and something that you know is kind of in place already. There are things we know. Jaden Daniels is your starting quarterback. You return 6 of your top 7 offensive linemen. We know that Harold Perkins is going to be an inside backer. And, you know, we know a lot of the guys, who they are, where they're going to be, etc. Brian Kelly was asked about the quarterback play in the spring game, and you got to see all 3 guys run out there. Here's what Brian Kelly had to say.
The quarterback was, and Daniels was very efficient, you know, played very well. I thought Garrett Nussmeier equally as efficient, and at times doesn't have the same protection that Jaden does. And given those circumstances, you know, you can make the case that he was equally, if not better, in some instances. So pleased with quarterbacks.
Mike Denbrock, a couple of weeks ago, when asked about the receivers, said Kyron Lacy was the guy that stood out this spring, and he sure showed it on Saturday.
So Kyron, really, the work that he's been doing is much more about, you know, consistent approach in practice. And, you know, I think we're starting to see how that's translating to performance. You know, he was, you know, I think at times trying to find himself relative to where he fit. And I think he's comfortable in where he is in our rotation now. And his practice work ethic has been consistent. And we can see it in terms of the way he's playing.
When you look at the receiving group, it's the deepest spot on LSU's team offensively. And you could argue either side of the ball. Malik Nabers is awesome. Brian Thomas is a really physical, strong receiver who's certainly a game breaker as well. You had a guy like Aaron Anderson from Alabama. That's not even to mention guys like Chris Hilton and Landon Ibieta, who had a long touchdown catch and run in the spring game. There's guys I'm leaving off. Let's not even include Shelton Sampson, a five-star coming in. Like, you are loaded at receiver. You lose Kayshon Boutte and Jerray Jenkins. You need guys to step up. Kyren Lacy is showing you he is more than capable of being that guy. He just needed the reps. He just wasn't going to get them ahead of the other guys that were there. The benefit of waiting your turn, and now he's waited his turn, and he's going to get his chance. One other thing offensively that a lot of people have talked about is John Emery. I want to remind you, we're going to let you hear Brian Kelly said after the spring game, but let's go back to the start of spring. Okay, when 6 weeks ago, it's hard to believe, it's like LSU really just lengthened out spring, you know, pre-fall break and all, or spring break and all stuff. Anyway, here's what Brian Kelly said in March before spring started.
John is focused strictly right now on his academics, and so he's got some marks that he has to hit from an academic standpoint before we talk about football with him. That was the deal with John, is in talking to his family, is that if his primary focus was academics and taking care of his degree, then we would have a conversation about football. And so right now his focus is 100% on that.
Okay, so you fast forward as we're moving toward final exams for the spring semester. John Emery, who does not need spring football. Again, I'm gonna underscore, bold, italicize. He's going into his fifth year. He is your most dynamic athlete at the running back spot. John Emery does not need spring practice. He don't need it. He just needs to be eligible in the fall. Here's what Brian Kelly said Saturday after the spring game.
We have not ruled out John Emery from returning. I think I've made it pretty clear that John has a path back, but it's one that is really dictated by what he does academically. So, look, we have not made any misleading statements. We love him, but we're putting academics first and foremost, and he's got to take care of that first.
No wavering, and I very much respect that. Here's the other thing I'll say. If John Emery were not going to be playing football for LSU this fall, John Emery would be in the NFL right now. He would be preparing for the NFL draft. Like, we know John Emery's going to be there. Like, he is going to be there come fall, ready to play. And if the approach is, hey, get your degree, so the fall is about football, like we've seen with other guys. We saw it with Joe Burrow. Hey, look, maybe take like an online course or something like that. Okay, take care of your academics now in spring, so that's not something that's going to be hovering over your head in the fall. A couple of other things. Maybe the biggest question moving forward is, who wins the jobs in your secondary? I've said this often. I feel like you are more talented in your secondary today than you were a year ago. But you lose Jarre Bernard Converse. You lose Cody Dickerson. You lose Mekhi Gardner. Okay, Colby Richardson. But it's pretty good that I can just roll it like that, huh? You lose Jay Ward. You lose Joe Fouché. Guys who are the cornerstones of your secondary. I mean, the only guys that are back really are Greg Brooks and Major Burns. And Burns was injured last year. We had the neck injury, like super weird thing that happened. So you are losing a ton of production, but you're probably more talented in your secondary. You are more talented in your secondary this year than last. Here was Brian Kelly coming out of spring, talking about that cornerback battle going into the summer.
We saw some good things, you know, clearly, but it's work in progress for all of those guys in terms of, you know, where they need to get to for the fall. You know, JK and Denver and Alexander, all three of them are still, you know, in that process for us in terms of weight room, in terms of the defense itself, and just the consistency of doing it at a high level. They're not there yet. We believe they can get there. We saw glimpses of it today. You know, we saw glimpses of LaTerrence, you know, his play today. I just think that we're not there yet. We think we've got some guys that are capable of playing at a high level, but there's still work to be done.
That's not even to include Deuce Chestnut, the Syracuse transfer who did not participate in spring but is expected to be a go. LaTerrence Welsh had a nice day on Saturday in the spring game. I thought he made some nice plays and flashed a little bit. So
you've got options. You know, the thing that we've talked about here with Denver Harris is I've asked people kind of around, and listen, you know, I'm not a scout. I'm not like breaking down game film scouting people. I lean on people who know way more than me to tell me these things. They say with a guy like Denver Harris, they love the athleticism, but a guy that's just basically played man his whole life because he's more athletic. So you got to learn how to play some zone, know what your responsibilities are other than just you guard him, right? So that's kind of what Brian Kelly is alluding to there, but you got a ton of options. One more, and that is, look, as much as we talk about special teams, you know, Damian Ramos had a very nice year. He steadied himself and had a very solid year for LSU, but Brian Kelly was adamant that job is not settled either.
It's clearly not a position where we've decided on who the starting kicker is. I think Ramos and Divert are still competing, you know, for that kicking position. We saw today that, you know, both of them had misses. So, you know, we have to keep an open mind on it, and we still have to keep them competing.
Ramos, of course, was your handled field goals, PATs. Divert handled your kickoffs a year ago. If nothing else changes, those are your guys going into the season in the same spot, but you can certainly leave that open. So LSU comes out of year two. Spring football under Brian Kelly, healthy with some guys emerging like Kyron Lacy, who's probably the most notable to mention there. Thin because of injury, but you had the luxury of holding guys out. You didn't see Mason Taylor. You didn't see John Emery like we talked about. You didn't see Mason Smith or Jalen Lee or Jordan Jefferson. You know, a lot of the defensive linemen that you brought in. You didn't see Makai Wingo this spring. A lot of guys you know you're going to be counting on come fall didn't participate because you didn't need them to participate. You know, the bigger overarching picture with this football team is you know you're talented, you know you're deep, just get everybody healthy and playing their best come September, because if you can find a way to bring your best every Saturday over 12 regular season games, you're going to find yourself back in Atlanta with a chance to play yourself into the college football playoff. That's what's on the line for this team this year, and I think they all know it. And it's really just a matter of taking it a day at a time and get there. It's all the cliches are applicable. But if you're a fan of LSU and you're excited today and optimistic about the fall, you should be, because this team is capable of beating every team on its schedule, provided they're healthy and playing their best. So it's on Brian Kelly and staff to get them there. All right, LSU football had the spring game on Saturday, but it wasn't just about the practice or the fake football on the field. That's a giant recruiting opportunity as well. And the Tigers did pop one. DeShaun McBride committed to LSU. Four-star safety out of Denham Springs, so LSU picks up another commit for 2024. Our buddy Shea Dixon from On3, good enough to join us for a couple of minutes here to talk about it. Shady, we appreciate you as always, man. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on as always. I'm thinking of what you just said, and it rings true on a number of levels. Quite often, it is not just about the spring game or what's happening on the field when half of your team isn't even out there and you're running scripted stuff, but more so about recruiting, which is evidenced more by them taking the Eye of the Tiger off the midfield and just putting the recruiting logo on it.
You know what? Actually, let's start there. Would you elaborate just a little bit with that, like the significance of that or why they would even do that?
Well, I mean, the path and, you know, the state of Louisiana, that whole symbol is graduate champions, all that has been different mantras that Kelly's gotten behind. But this path just specifically is football, right, in terms of recruiting and what it means to join that and follow in the footsteps of whether it be other Louisiana guys or other former greats that have played at LSU and come through the program. And do I think anybody in the class is committing because they put that at midfield instead of the I? No. But I do think it rings true to the reality that they know that recruiting is the lifeblood of this program, and putting an actual push behind it like the path and like graduate champions and all these different things, I think adds an element that, to me, lets me know that they're taking it very seriously. I
remember a few years ago, Mississippi State put hashtag Hail State on their field when trying to get hashtag. I mean, it's obviously something we all do now, but like trying to get hashtags trending, right? I mean, so yeah, it's there are those opportunities where it's significant. All right, let's talk about Dwayne McBride. Safety out of Denham Springs, what can you tell us about him? Or DeShaun McBride, I'm sorry.
I mean, we've got Lane out here wearing hashtag transfer to the SIP sweatshirts to coach in during games. I mean, let's be real. It is always about recruiting.
Yeah.
Deshaun McBride is what? The first Denham Springs football player. Obviously, they've got a pretty good baseball player on their team, but first football player since Caleb Radia a number of years back, a handful of years back at least. But comes into the, I guess, comes through Denham Springs, led the program. I think it was the record. I do believe it is the record with 9 picks a year ago from his safety spot. But as a junior in high school, Matt, he's 6'3", 200. So he could grow into a big safety. He can maybe play linebacker if he ever felt the need. But regardless, he right now in on-3 rankings is a top 5 player in Louisiana. And that's what a lot of people have asked is, coming off a year ago when it was very understandable that, hey, Matt, you've Googled the on-3 rankings and you're looking at the top 10 guys in Louisiana, and a lot of them are going elsewhere, whether it was Arch or Eli Holstein or, you know, Tackett Curtis and Derek Williams at Westgate and Jaden Osbury, U-High, whomever it might be. It didn't look normal, but it was understood that, all right, they've had some bad seasons, 500 seasons, a losing season in 1 year, and they were making a transition to a new coach. Now I look at the top 10 in the on-3 rankings, and with Juwan Johnson recently decommitting from Colorado, nobody's committed to an out-of-state school, and LSU's now got 3 guys in the class with the addition of Deshaun McBride, who are top 10 players in the state. So we're starting to see those much-needed dominoes drop, where if you lock up this state, which is one of the best per capita producing high-level FBS players and certainly NFL players, you're set up for success, which is a big reason Brian Kelly took this job.
So McBride gets LSU a top prospect in Louisiana to stay home. Are they done at safety, or is there more work to do there?
Oh, there's more work to do. I would say maybe halfway home. So they've got, you look right now, Matt, at the team, and we knew that, hey, they've got Greg Brooks and Major Burns coming back. Those are returning starters. That's great. Those guys are at the back end of their careers. And really the other veteran, quote unquote, in the safety room would be Sage Ryan, who will be in his 3rd year. And he's obviously broken onto the field, playing some safety, playing nickel in the spring. And that might be where he ends up in the fall, but he's also getting older. So who's up next? And Matthew Langlois has been injured for a couple of years. They had some safeties leave the program the past couple of years. And really now you've brought in this new crop of Tobiano and Yates and, even a guy like Ashton Stamps out of Rumble could play safety. You've got some young guys, but how do you continue to add to that? I think they need a big safety haul. So 2 guys now committed with McBride and Maurice Williams out of Texas, who's also a top 200 prospect, high 4-star. And they're still in it on a number of others, including one local guy, Joel Rogers at West Louisiana, who has an offer at safety. He's another top 20 prospect nationally at safety. So they're well on their way to having a very good safety class. I just don't think it's done yet.
Shea Dixon's with us on Twitter at Shea Dixon. You mentioned Juwan Johnson, who had been committed to Colorado, decommitting. What can you tell us about that?
So he went to Colorado spring game this past weekend and ended up on Sunday decommitting and moving on. And it's been an odd, I think, 48 hours since Saturday spring game, because last I checked, they had had 15 players hit the portal in that stretch. And look, I'm sure that many of them, out of Dion's own mouth, was after spring, this roster is going to look different. So guys are leaving. But I believe one of their better receivers hit the portal. And then Juwan Johnson, who's one of their highest-ranked commits, decides to open things back up. He told us, I mean, we've got an interview right now with him on the site that Sam Spiegelman did, that he rushed the decision. He got caught up. He wants to take things a little more slowly. But I think there's also the reality that anybody can understand this. He's got offers from everyone in the country. When you've got to, and look, this isn't what he came out and said, but I've seen many people who said, when it comes to Colorado, really getting these kids and holding on to them, distance is what you're beating out. And Matt, if you're in Lafayette, you have to drive to wherever to fly out Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Houston. If you're flying out of Lafayette, no matter what, you're having to go to Dallas to then connect to Denver and drive over to Boulder. And when you're talking about family coming to see you and you getting home, it's a lot. If you've got options that are all over the place, a lot of these kids ultimately are going to lean back to, well, I've got LSU right down the road. Hey, you know, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Bama, A&M, Texas, all these schools are drivable for me. Arkansas, Colorado is going to have to make a really big pitch with a lot of these national kids to overcome that hump when guys have options closer to home.
Shay, I'm looking at the on-through recruiting prediction machine that you all have up, and there's a 59% chance that Johnson ends up as part of LSU's class. You'll have it at 31% that he ends up in Colorado. Safe to say that LSU should be the leader at this point?
I thought LSU was the leader before. That was where my pick was before he kind of unexpectedly said, hey, look, I'm about to make an announcement, and word kind of spread that, oh, whoa, look, he's coming off a Colorado visit. He's about to announce right now. And I moved it to Colorado, and he committed there. And not 2 months later, he was, this was his own interview saying what most people would understand of, hey, I was coming off a big visit. Coach Prime and them were out. They had a lot of buzz at the moment. That was kind of at the height of the Colorado buzz. And he got on board. And now he said, hey, look, I've had time to reflect. I've visited both schools in that time. And I just want to take a step back and start things over. So for me, that puts LSU back as the team to beat moving forward.
All right, a couple more for you, Shay. Look, Joe Burrow and all the guys, Jamar, Clyde, all the guys from 2019 that were there. How, sort of an obvious question, man, but how big of a deal is that to have those guys there for the spring game on Saturday from a recruiting purpose?
I mean, I think it's huge. Think of this. Well, all these guys get to hang out and get their photos with all of them, and are you going to commit to that school because of that? No, but it makes it a very cool experience, and it's not just those guys, because I've talked to a number of other recruits who were saying, look, I had guys hitting me up who were on other visits at other colleges saying, man, I wish I were there. I'm not getting to hang out and take photos with all these different people and meet all these other, former LSU athletes right now. And for Louisiana kids and kids beyond, that's a big deal. So it doesn't hurt, I'll tell you that. I think these kids love seeing that and seeing guys come back. And when there are big weekends like that, everybody wants to be a part of it. And guys who aren't kind of wish they'd made it in.
Shay, portal window is open here. Are we expecting LSU to lose any guys into the portal?
I don't know if it's anyone that goes into the portal at this stage, in my mind, is going to be someone that just doesn't see a path to the field because so many guys got reps in spring. So, you've got a lot of new guys joining the program. A lot of guys are jockeying for positions. So I'd be surprised, but then again, I could see one or two names going in if they felt like, hey, look, I really don't have a path to the field. Mm-hmm. I know everybody's just paying attention to quarterback and Garrett Nussmeier, and certainly LSU can make the case that they have the best 1-2 punch in the country at quarterback in terms of guys you'd be willing and confident to trot out there and win the games. But I've heard no buzz on that front. Honestly, with the deadline already passed to transfer to another SEC school, unless he wants to leave the SEC, he's set up well. If Jaden sprains his ankle in the game, he's the starter. And anything beyond that, he's competing and then taking over the starting job with no competition behind him, or at least people coming in to take it from him, because if he's still on this roster by then, there's no need to go into the portal for a quarterback. You've got a great one in Nussmeier.
He's Shay Dixon on Twitter, at Shay Dixon. Give it on three, the Bengal Tiger. Great stuff as always, man. We appreciate the time, and we'll visit again soon.
Yes, and I'll say quickly, Tre'Dez Green, the number 2 player in the state up at East Feliciana, tight end, number 3 tight end in the country, announces Wednesday at 2 o'clock. So maybe I'll jump back on later in the weekend. If that's good news for LSU, as I think it will be, that's a big pickup. Another domino in state.
Shay, is he going to be a 2-sport guy?
He does have an offer to play basketball as well. The track record there. Those are 2 sports. Like, a lot of guys have been sprinters and done both of that, or baseball. Basketball and football is tough. It sort of overlaps. So he has the opportunity to do it. We saw that with Jordan Toles recently. Like, hey, if you want to come in and walk on, go for it. He's a very good basketball player, but I do know that he would be on a football scholarship if he commits, and that would be the main focus.
Okay. All right, Shay, we appreciate it, man. Thank you.
You got it, Matt.
LSU baseball sweeps Ole Miss in Oxford. Our buddy Ben McDonald was there on the call for game 2. And I'm curious if his Morgan Wallen show is the one that got canceled. Ben's with us now. Ben, how are you, man?
Doing good. How about you?
I'm great. Okay, so were you Saturday or Sunday for Morgan Wallen?
Man, thank gosh I was Saturday. And I'm just telling you, I'm not buying, and I don't think anybody's buying, his voice went out. Like, I'm just not buying that.
What do you think, man? He had a long night on the square and just couldn't make it?
I'm thinking potentially he might have got around the square, which we've all been around the square once or twice before, you know? And so, I don't know. It's just weird. You know, he sounded great. And look, he put on a hell of a show on Saturday. It was great. And, you know, you go to a lot of concerts and sometimes the artist doesn't sound as good as he sounds on your radio, or he doesn't sound as good as he sounds, you know, on CD player, phone, whatever. But this dude sounded, I'm talking about, he was sounding just perfect, you know. And so it was a good time. I hated for all the people last night. Gosh, what a terrible time. But yeah, it is what it is.
For those that didn't hear, Morgan Wallen was playing two nights at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. Played Saturday, and then Sunday show got canceled. He apparently lost his voice. So we're all maybe claiming a little conspiracy theory there. But yeah, unfortunately for those that didn't get to see it, it was a great performance by the LSU baseball team, which swept three games. But let me start with the game that you called. Ty Floyd, I think, was the biggest story of the weekend. 8 1/3, by far his best outing as a Tiger. What worked so well for Ty Floyd on Saturday?
Yeah, you know, I'm happy for, I was kind of hard on him in the open, you know, but I really believe this. Like, if LSU's going to get to Omaha and win the College World Series, that's the goal. They got to have a true number two guy. And Ty Floyd has flashed that over his career, but never really put it together, you know. And before this start, he had over a 6 ERA in his whatever 5 SEC starts it's been. That Ty Floyd's better than that. And so he showed up in a giant way. I'll tell you what he did. He threw strike one. And when he throws strike one, he's really good. Then he can take that fastball and he can elevate it above the zone like he got a lot of his strikeouts. So he got ahead and expanded the zone and went up because he's got that elite fastball with some high spin to it on the analytical world where it just kind of carries through the zone. The other thing he did well, he kept him off his fastball too. And the knock on Ty his first 2 years was really didn't have a secondary pitch, right? Couldn't really get a changeup going, couldn't get a breaking ball going. Wes Johnson, new pitching coach, him, had worked really hard to develop just something to get him off the fastball. So he had a good little slider at times, threw some changeups to keep him honest a little bit, but did his work with the fastball and threw strike one. So, yeah, a career outing, his very best career best outing at the right time, and maybe this is something that gets him going. Because we all know LSU has a true number one in Paul's scheme, but can they get a number two going in Ty Floyd, step up in a big way for sure on Saturday?
Ben, why was it so hard for Ole Miss hitters to lay off that elevated fastball?
Well, it's pretty simple. We've seen it at the big league level because you think you can hit it, right? I mean, for years, you know, the gravity's always affected a fastball, and that fastball typically comes down from a high arm slide. It comes down into the zone. Well, gravity does not affect Ty Floyd's fastball because he has, for your viewers out there that don't know what that means, so the average big league fastball spins about 2,300 RPMs. Ty Floyd can spin his fastball at 2,500 RPMs. So what does that mean? That means it just stays on plane longer. Like, gravity does not affect it as much as other typical fastballs that come towards home plate. So if you'll go back and watch the video, you'll see a lot of swings and misses underneath the ball because hitters just, it fools their eyes and it stays on plane a little bit longer. That's it in its simplest terms. And so that's what he was able to do. And don't forget, look, in the ninth inning, he was still up to 96 miles an hour, too. That doesn't hurt either.
Ty Floyd was just absolutely magnificent on Saturday. You mentioned Paul Skeens as well. It's so odd, Ben, to nitpick a guy who had 11 strikeouts. But it wasn't Paul's sharpest outing. What was different for Paul Skeens on Friday?
Well, you know, for me, he just really made one mistake. I mean, Eddie Furness' son, Will Furness, right? He punched him out on 3 pitches on fastballs inside. He tried to go inside again, I think, on a 1-1 count, and left the ball out over the plate. And, you know, Will Furness was not going to be embarrassed the second time. He was going to get the bat started, and he ran into the ball, and it was a 3-run homer. It just happened to be a walk, a base hit, and a 3-run homer, you know. And so, yeah, Paul hasn't been, you know, it's hard. I'm with you. I mean, we're talking about the best pitcher in all of college baseball. We're talking about a guy that's going to be probably the second pick in the country this year and a guy that you could plug in to back end of a major league bullpen right now and he'd hold his own, in my opinion. So it's hard to nitpick him. But, yeah, you know, if you not get quite ahead as much as he did before, you know, is always strike one. And so it's very, very nitpicky. But look, Paul Skeens is still hands down the best pitcher in the country right now. He made one mistake. He went for a 3-run homer, and that was 3 runs, you know.
Yeah, it's the standard he set. Look, Ben, I mean, I don't mean to say this, but like 30 years ago, like, you were that guy. I'm not trying to date you, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
At this point in the season, does fatigue set in, Ben? Like when you've thrown this many innings and with that much intensity with the fastball, like what is Paul Skenes feeling right now?
Yeah, I mean, yes, it can. I mean, I'm looking at his numbers right now. He's only got 59 innings right now. So he's, look, you know this. I mean, look, he's a horse, right? 6'6", 240. And he's a guy that's accumulated some innings at Air Force the year before. It's not like we're talking about a guy that's never thrown 70 innings in a season, right? Like, he's built up, which is good. Having said what you're saying, yes, there will be a point in time in this season. I don't think we're here right now. But when he starts getting to, you know, 90 innings, 100 innings of work, the arm's not the same. I mean, I threw 153 my junior year, and I noticed about the 120 mark that year that I was starting to run out of gas a little bit, you know, and it was an accumulation of the year before, the summer with the Olympic team, and then back to my junior year, my arm just didn't quite feel the same. And Paul will experience that, but I think Paul's the kind of pitcher that can still get by. Like, he's got a good enough slider, good enough changeup. And he'll realize the fastball below, maybe it's not there, and I can do some other things to still get you out. But look, he's a super competitor, and, you know, he goes out and competes because of his background and where he's come from. He'll do fine. He's going to be a horse all year for LSU. Obviously, you got to keep him healthy, and knock on wood, he stays healthy. But he's a stud. Like, he's a real stud. He's going to do fine every Friday night.
He's on Twitter at RealBenMcDonald. Y'all give him a follow, of course, SEC Network. Always great when you see Ben on the call, especially when it's on LSU games. Ben, I also wanted to get your take on Hunter Elliott, who we saw after basically a seven-week layoff. And, boy, just it was a struggle. He faced 10 hitters. He walked five of them. When you hear about elbow injuries, you always get a little leery. The guy with such a huge future as Hunter Elliott. I just love your opinion on what you saw from Hunter Elliott and you know, just the risk that they're taking, you know, with him pitching this year.
Yeah, you know, all we know is he had an elbow issue. You know, and a lot of times if there's a fraying, and I'm not saying it is, I don't want to confuse any viewers out there, but a lot of times there could be a partial tear in that ligament, and guys want to rehab it and go throw and see if it will hold up, how it feels. I'm not saying that's his case, but I'll be honest with you. He did not look like the guy that I saw last year when I had him in the Super Regional. I had him in the FCC tournament. Or no, I had him in late in the year. I had him a couple of times last year. I saw him. He did not look the same to me. I am concerned about him. The first thing that jumped at me was the velo. He always pitched at 90, 91. Wasn't a strange hard thrower last year, but the first fastball he threw was 86. And I looked over at David Lucci. I said, is that a changeup? And he goes, no, that's a fastball. And then the next one's at 87. I'm going, I don't like this. And then he started throwing his best pitch, which is his changeup. And I felt like he was really slowing his arm down, like the arm slot was a little bit different. He did not look comfortable to me. So I'm concerned about him. I hope I'm 100% wrong. I hope he makes his next start and he goes out and pitches like the kid that pitched Ole Miss to the College World Series Championship. Because that's what he did with Dylan DeLucci last year. That's how important he was. So I hope I'm wrong. But I did not like what I saw for him.
He is Ben McDonald on Twitter at RealBenMcDonald. Ben, are we going to get to see you much more in college? I know with the schedule you do with the Orioles as well. How much are we going to get to see you calling college games the rest of the summer?
Unfortunately, that was my last college game. About to ship off and go to Baltimore for 3 weeks. But I am back for Hoover, and so you'll have me all through the playoffs. So I'll be back for the SEC tournament. I'll do a regional, which I'll beg like hell to stay in Baton Rouge for that. I'll do a super regional, and I'll beg again like hell to stay in Baton Rouge for that one too. And then, of course, I'll do the College World Series as well. So I got to go out for about 3 weeks here and do some MLB games, and then I'll be back for the real fun, you know, and the postseason play.
Ben, we always appreciate it, man. It's great to hear you on the broadcast and when we can get a few minutes with you here on the show. Thanks, as always, for the time.
Anytime. Take care of yourself.
Okay, that'll do it for us here on a Tuesday edition of LSU Daily. Please subscribe up on your favorite podcast app. Rate us. Leave a review on iTunes. Let a friend know if they love the Tigers. We got you here for around 30 minutes, usually or less, every single weekday, but for a few minutes over 30 today. But hope you enjoy the episode here on LSU Daily.